Welcome back to Series Regular, The Hollywood Reporter's all-in podcast focused on genre television and presently focused on HBO's Westworld. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, and when we tell you that Series Regular is an all-in podcast on genre television, we really mean it this week. This podcast is all about genre, the fifth episode of Westworld Season 3. If you missed it, tune out now. Go watch it, unless you don't mind the spoilers, because we're going to get into the spoilers pretty quickly here. Genre was literally a genre-bending episode, as Westworld newcomer Aaron Paul, in the role of Caleb Nichols, spends much of the episode tripping on a drug from the future called genre. Its purpose? To make you experience the world in multiple film genres.
What's happening to me?
I think he's switching genres.
Sounds like it would be a pretty wild ride here, right? Lots of different types of movies out there, so many different genres to traverse. Well, we'll talk about how that landed today here on Series Regular, as Mariah Gullo, my co-host on all things Westworld, will join me in just a few minutes to talk about everything that went down with the genre drug and how we're reacting to it. From a plot standpoint, this was a big one. Dolores finally acted on her plan to reveal Rehoboam to the world.
We're going to open their cages. The system's written their life story. They should get to read it.
You can't do that. That's reckless. You have no idea what they'll do in response. It could lead to suicides, murder.
It's their fate, their data. You just stole it and put it all together. Why should you control it?
This isn't about me or insight. There are some things people should know about themselves.
In collaboration with yet another version of herself, another version of Dolores, this one played by Tommy Flanagan, Dolores was able to reveal insight into insight to the rest of humanity at large. The results, pretty brutal, and results that live up to the tagline of Season 3. Free will isn't free. The unspoken piece of that is, it comes at a cost. And the cost is pretty heavy for a lot of the people who find out about what roles they've been cast into in their society. Beyond that, we find out a whole lot more about Serac, the character played by Vincent Cassel, set up as the antagonist of the season. At least he's the antagonist, depending on your viewpoint of what it is he's doing with humanity and how much you find yourself aligned with Dolores, whichever Dolores it is you choose to align yourself with. A lot of insight into Serac as we find out that he and his brother are the founders of Rehoboam, a project they took on after losing their home city and everyone that they knew in a nuclear disaster in Paris long ago. We'll talk about all of that and more today as we dig into the events of genre between myself and my co-host, senior producer at The Hollywood Reporter, Mariah Gullo. Mariah, bring yourself online. Hopefully you're seeing not just in black and white. Hopefully everything's pretty clear for you at the moment.
Glad to see you finally doing personals, Cal.
I know. Oh my God.
It's my
I've never seen anybody so happy to see another person like getting into the murder game. Lena Waithe was really pumped about that. Or Ash, I should say, is her character.
Oh, Josh, I have so many emotions about this episode. So many emotions and feelings.
Well, that's appropriate, right? Because that's what the genre drug does to you, is it makes you feel and see all sorts of different movies, kind of. At least that's what it's theoretically supposed to do. Give me a broad spectrum, Mariah. Brushstrokes. What are some of the emotions that this episode made you feel?
Well, I think the storytellers took a big swing on the genre drug, and I find in science fiction that sometimes there are theories and ideas that come out in science fiction that can be big swings and can be misses. And for me, the genre drug, I get it. It's such a great concept, but how it was executed for me, I just thought it was really silly.
Yeah, I'm deeply inside, as many of us are, and yet I felt a big gust of wind watching Westworld Season 3, Episode 5. It must be from the whiff. And with all respect to Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who are fantastic, and I've loved so much of Westworld. But I expect, Mariah, that this will be a pretty, I think this will be a consensus opinion. Maybe not all across the board, but I would guess that a lot of people are going to feel very similarly to you. I certainly do. The idea of, certainly you're naming an episode genre. You're building it around the fact that Aaron Paul's character is going to get placed on this drug that we've been hearing about over the past couple of episodes. And really all it seems to do is turn things into, like, he gets like a film noir filter on everything. Like, everything's all like black and white Tokyo Instagram.
That's,
you know,
right,
like
it is. It's kind of like an Instagram filter with a little bit of music. And hats off, the music was incredible.
Terrific. Terrific.
Wagner, Bowie, yep. Iggy Pop, and Fisher Spooner. Like, I was in heaven.
The Bowie was great. That was such a good music cue. And for the moment, like, it was all of that was great. But if all genre does is, like, make you, like, see things in black and white and, like, hear cool music, then it's like, is it so bad? It seems like it's, you know, pretty light as far as future drugs are concerned. Maybe, I don't know, they've turned it down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I love the character development with Aaron Paul's character in the episode. I thought that the genre was kind of a distraction that didn't really work. And I just think that sometimes people can paint themselves into a corner by having a great idea, but then somehow it's just not visually executed. And that's, correct, like I said, the music was amazing, but the execution of, like, being on the drug, and, you know, it's not easy to do a drug movie, you know,
yeah,
like Trainspotting, you know, is a rare exception to the rule.
Trippy sequences can be tough because, like, either they're just sort of trippy to be trippy and, like, things are just happening within the scene that are kind of, like, you know, gobbledygook and they don't really make a lot of sense. And you feel like it's just happening just, like, for things to feel weird, but no real, like, story intention behind it, or even, I think, more sinfully, no real thematic intention behind it. And this, I felt, was kind of, like, It was committing that latter sin. It was that there did not feel like a lot of thematic intention behind a lot of these choices. I think, like, maybe, like, briefly, Cal, like, goes into, you know, a little bit of, like, a romance movie,
yeah,
when he's watching Dolores, you know, kill a bunch of people is sort of interesting. But between that and, like, Flight of the Valkyrie just scoring the escalation of the car chase, there was no other real way of signaling, like, a shift from noir into action movie, I didn't feel like. So I actually thought that it was both, like, sort of, like, thematically a little inconsistent, but it also just didn't really make you feel anything. And the fact that it was kind of dry in the visual presentation is definitely a disappointment. And I think it doesn't help the show's case. It doesn't help Westworld's case that earlier, or several months ago now, late in 2019, HBO had another drama with a big fat W at the head of its title, Watchmen, that did an episode that operates under a relatively similar premise, where Regina King's character takes a drug called Nostalgia, and she's basically tripping through somebody's memories by taking these drugs. And it's very thematically compelling. It is very visually compelling. So I think, like, this kind of an episode, Mr. Robot has done similar stuff in the past. You can imagine, like, what Noah Hawley, who does Fargo and did Legion, what he might have done with an episode like this. And I think if you're gonna have this be a premise for an episode, and you're gonna call name the episode after it, when there's a lot of other stuff that's happening in the episode, there's so much plot happens in this episode that we have to talk about. So I think pin everything on genre, and then this is what's delivered. I think it's going to be hard to not feel a bit underwhelmed by it. So at the very least, you and I are on the same page with that. And I would expect a lot of people who watched Westworld tonight are going to feel similarly.
Yeah, you heard it here, kids. Drugs are lame.
Drugs are lame. Drugs are bad. Don't do drugs.
Okay, apparently don't work very well either. Especially whatever.
Pretty light. Pretty light trip. So at least that's good news.
It was a light trip.
You know, normally I would say, like, don't take drugs and shoot a grenade launcher. But apparently, if you're on genre and you've got a robot with you who can control remote-controlled rockets, it's just fine. No, seriously, don't take drugs and use a grenade launcher. That's a bad idea.
If genre, like, morphed if Aaron Paul looked over and Evan Rachel Wood had turned into Arnold Schwarzenegger, now that's
yeah, yes,
a genre drug that would scare the crap out of me.
So we have a lot of questions about Caleb in this episode. There seems to be a lot more to Caleb than meets the eye, and I am pulling a Transformers slogan for a reason, because is it possible that Caleb is a robot? Is it possible that he is, like, interwoven into the host technology? He seems to be, is he an outlier? Is he part of that outlier facility that Serac has, that he's rounding up people who he views as outliers that Rehoboam can't predict? What's his connection there? Is he somehow Serac's brother, or Serac's son, or Serac's brother's son? There's some sort of connection going on with Caleb there. But let's say he's connected closer to Delos. Let's say he's closer connected to Dolores, and he's more closely connected to what's going on with the robots. I think even if he's just connected to Serac, I think that you can use that genre trip as a way to, like, visually convey that if he's starting to see Serac, and we as the viewer, like, how is Caleb able to see this man? How does he know who Serac is? Will build a lot of intrigue about what this character has been involved in, what he may have been up to in the past. Obviously, that's hinging a lot on some predictions for a character that we have no idea where it's really going. But, like, imagine, Mariah, to the point of, what if Schwarzenegger showed up and Dolores was there as Schwarzenegger? Or just, like, somebody who had been on Westworld before. Like, maybe this is a way, like, you bring, like, James Marsden onto the show, where suddenly, like, you know, Caleb looks over at Dolores and she's, like, in full-on Teddy mode and is doing, like, some sort of, like, square-jawed James Marsden action scene. Or he suddenly is Teddy, like, Caleb himself, like, looks in the mirror and he's... And that's, like, echoing the themes of Dolores maybe using another man who's hopelessly in love with her. I just felt like there's a lot of potential there, just from that visual standpoint that you're talking about, of, like, really taking the swing and you know, connecting with the ball. I think, like, it's not enough to just have the idea of, here's a character that's going to be tripping on a drug that is going to allow you to hear different pieces of the admittedly fantastic music selection and Ramin Djawadi score throughout Westworld, but also is going to make you literally see stuff that you just never expected to see. That would have been fun. I'm really here for Dolores as Schwarzenegger. I think would have been that would have been fantastic.
Now that you're talking about it, I feel like genre would have been great in season one or season two if they had taken the drugs in the park.
Yep.
And you could see how it changed people's experiences in the park and made different movies out of the adventure that they were already on. I mean, right. That seems like a good place to have put it. Maybe it was an idea that got kicked down into season three.
Yeah, it just didn't really have a great place here, I think. I mean, actually, that's wrong. It had a great place here. Like, this could have been wild. It could have been absolutely crazy. I don't want to complain about seeing, you know, Marshawn Lynch back and Lena Waithe back. Great to see them back. But hard to imagine how they're going to refactor into the plot now. It feels like we're full steam ahead, right?
Yeah.
So this was all that they were used for. And, like, there's not even, like, a lot of, like, really fun interplay with them with the genre drug. So it does kind of feel like a little bit of a miss here, which is sad. I think pretty easily for me, the bottom ranked of season three so far through five episodes. And that's a shame, because so much is happening on the story front that I think we should dig into.
Yes.
Not the least of which is that everybody knows what Rehoboam is capable of now. That has been unlocked for everybody. It's like the end of Cruel Intentions when everybody finds out what's in Sarah Michelle Gellar's notebook or what's in Ryan Phillippe's notebook. And they now know that Sarah Michelle Gellar has cocaine in her cross necklace. And the one principal just, like, shakes his head very disapprovingly at Sarah Michelle Gellar. It's that writ large, Mariah. That's the world of Westworld now.
I also felt like it was the beginning of Strange Days, where you see that society is on the brink of some big disaster. Like, it felt like everybody was just all of a sudden going to riot in the streets. And that reminded me a lot of Strange Days, which is one of my favorite movies, but I also recognize is very cheesy.
Yeah, I think the one area where the genre drug worked for me is this idea of, and it would have been even more impactful if, like, the trip had been very, you know, significant and substantial in its substance, but we've talked that through. But the idea of Caleb kind of, like, sobering up in the cold light of day and stepping outside of the station in Santa Monica and seeing what he just helped Dolores do and what the impact on individual human lives has been. Yeah. Like, that feels like it was was a very chilling kind of like sobering thing as Major Tom is playing and you're seeing like people pushing each other around and like literally physically fighting on the streets and like, you know, people like skateboarding on things that they shouldn't be skateboarding on and like, you know, like End of Days type stuff. Like, it doesn't matter. Let's just go boarding, bro. You know, I thought that that actually was effective as far as like we need to push Caleb probably into a territory where he's going to start to wonder, did he just do the right thing or did he actually just make things so much worse? And I know that that's been one of those like philosophical questions that, as you have mentioned on the podcast before, like these are the types of debates that you have had with your partner before in the past of like, if you could just have like a computer system dictate life, is that the right move or not? And that's right. been very core to the premise of the show. And you and I have talked about that a little bit too. And I think this episode really wanted to put both arms around that subject and present it to us and make us feel like, okay, so this is what Dolores wanted. What do you think it is? Is this good or is this bad? And that was the one part of the episode where I thought like it was effectively drawn by Caleb, kind of like now he's not tripping anymore. The Marshawn Lynch character giggles, tells him like, what genre is this? It's like, oh, this isn't a genre. This is reality.
I love that Siroc and Liam are still like the voice of people need to be under control. We can make a better right. humanity if we can control humanity. And Dolores is on the side of free will. And they've set up so much foreshadowing with Caleb that he is going to be a pivotal decider between these two schools of thought. There's this romance, obviously, that's brewing between him and Dolores, but there's also this mistrust from, you know, he really did listen to Liam when Liam was telling him there's something wrong. There's something you're not remembering correctly. And there's this mistrust between him and Dolores. Perhaps she's not telling me everything that she needs to tell me. Yeah. And we're really seeing that at the end. And it's very exciting. It's exciting to see. I mean, I wrote in my notes, Caleb, who the heck are you? What are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any theories in that regard? Because it does seem like when he's with Liam and Liam is dying, Liam seems to be freaking out. And there's all this talk about like, you don't even know who you are. You don't even know what you are. Did the episode give you any clues as to, is Caleb just another Dolores, Mariah? Should we just assume that all mystery characters are Dolores until proven otherwise?
You know, I also wrote in my notes, I don't think Bernard is Dolores, but
yeah,
I do think that...
Unless, like, the reason why Bernard is so important, because Bernard's like, it seems like they're not done with me. I think I have an important role to play. Maybe it's because you're the most important Dolores of them all, Bernard.
Right.
No, but I think you're right. I think you're right.
I do think that Dolores might be pitted against Dolores at some point because Bernard keeps hitting home that if you spend time in a body, it changes you. And it makes me think Dolores might be the last non-Dolores Dolores standing, and there might be a conflict there. But getting back to what you said about Caleb, I think that Caleb definitely killed his friend who he thinks died in battle, or his friends who died in battle. I think definitely he is responsible for their deaths. But also, I think that because it seems pretty obvious, so that might be incorrect. I might be following the rabbit down the hole.
No, I think the rabbit might be leading us to the right place. I think it feels like what was Caleb doing? And I think when we see a lot of like those military flashes of him, he's often in kind of like, you know, some sort of like security uniform, like black ops uniform. Doesn't seem like he's really in like a combat zone necessarily. Yes. And it does make me wonder, especially now that we see so much from Siroc's perspective this episode. And I'll say I really enjoyed getting to know that character a lot more. And we've got an interview up at thr.com/Westworld right now with Vincent Cassell about getting into Siroc and getting more under the hood. And I really enjoyed talking to him about that and his perspective of like, well, are you happy that Siroc is losing right now? I guess it depends on your philosophy on like what's good for humanity. And I thought that he, you know, he talked about how Siroc, even though he's sort of like fascistic in his methods, that what he's trying to do is pretty noble and is coming from a place of pain. But I think that that also is being framed without us fully knowing what he's doing with the outliers. What is he doing with the people he's rounding up? What are these experiments? I don't know if the episode wanted that to be really clear to us, because if it did, Mariah, it wasn't terribly clear to me.
Right.
Ultimately, what is being done with the outliers, what all those experiments are.
He's editing them. What does that mean?
Right.
He's editing their genes.
Mean? Right.
Are we going to end up with some manimals? Is that what?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know about Batman showing up, but some man-bat action is not impossible. There could be a scientist that breaks out with wings. I don't know. It's a good question. And could it be that Aaron Paul's character, that Caleb, is the result of some of that genetic splicing? Mm-hmm. Could he have been coded to do some measure of grunt work that was needed? It seems like he's having flashbacks to like a black site execution, right? Like there's somebody who's getting like a bag torn off his head. So was Caleb directly involved in that? I think all of that, and then like imagining a world where if he is, you know, manipulatable in the same way that some of the hosts can be via remote control, maybe that would help explain, Mariah, why he doesn't want to use his implant anymore. Like if he was being controlled that way, or if he is like concerned that he was being controlled that way. Right. It could help explain why he is feeling as traumatized as he is. I think like even if it was just his friend dying in battle, he would be, you know, feeling traumatized by that. But would he feel especially traumatized if he, you know, his friend died in battle because it was his orders to kill him? I think that you're probably circling the drain of the answer. I don't know that we're like right on top of it, but I would expect that you're definitely in the area. I think if we took one step to the left, the answer would explode in front of us.
Do you have a character right now, especially within this episode, that you feel like I've told you before that I thought that Maeve is a reliable narrator? When I'm in Maeve's point of view, I believe in what's happening. Is there anybody that you think is a reliable narrator in your opinion?
No, and I think that is a problem. I think that's a corner that Westworld has painted itself into, is that we have been so much mistrust has been engendered between the authors and the readers, right? You know, mm-hmm. I do think that was baked into the premise of the show, that the hosts don't know what's going on, so we don't know what's going on, and we're experiencing time the way they experience time. But we've now also been introduced to the idea that characters can be multiple characters. And so it just makes it hard. Like you want to trust that Bernard genuinely doesn't know what's going on. My instinct would be Bernard is probably the most reliable of any of the characters right now, but he's been so unreliable in the past that can I rely on him to be reliable now? Can I rely on Stubbs to be reliable now when Stubbs was secretly a host all the time, but otherwise seems like a fairly straight shooter? So I don't think so. I would come closest to agreeing with you about Maeve, though I think that even she would back pocket some intentions from us if she had like an idea of what to do to get out from underneath Serac's thumb.
That's true.
Yeah, so I don't really trust anybody. It is an issue. It's an issue. It's a problem. And now I don't really trust Caleb either, because he's kind of graduating from, you know, everyman to maybe secret Superman. So
yeah.
What's, you know, there more than meets the eye with him. And I do think if there was one thing that Westworld needed more of is more characters that are kind of like just sort of like at a certain level that you can trust. And now that the page seems to be turning on Caleb, that we can't fully trust him either, it does sort of leave us a little bit adrift. It's like, which Dolores do you trust? You know, is even a question on the board. Is a lot. At least we have fewer Dolores's to keep track of now.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's helpful. All right, R.I.P. Connells. Yeah, yeah.
What a way to go, too. I loved the special effects of the bad guy disintegrating in front of Serac's eyes.
That was cool. That was very cool. No, I think in a lot of I hate to beat a dead horse here. I do think that that's another reason why the genre stuff is so frustrating, because so often the show is really visually compelling and visually innovative. And I felt like the genre stuff like really could have driven it further. And I think a great example of that is within this very episode, exactly what you're saying, is how they played Connell's Dolores, you know, blowing himself up, being like, I know who the mole is. It was me. And then hitting the button and then everything blows up and that like blinking out in front of Serac's eyes. It was really cool to see Serac, this cool as a cucumber bad guy, losing his grip on stuff.
Yes.
Even as he's like kind of like chillingly narrating everything that he's been doing with Rehoboam all along the way, but having that contrasted with him just like losing and losing and losing at every turn. It was a good performance, I really
thought. Dolores and him seem to be on an even playing field now. I feel like now you get the idea that it's anyone's ball game.
Yeah, but how does Serac recover the ball, right, is the question, because Dolores definitely has it right now.
Right.
She just outed everything that he's been working on. How does he get, you know, life is on rails at the moment, and that's by design through the work at Insight. How does he put the train back on track is the question.
I mean, he still has a really cool private jet, so.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I mean, you don't even need the window seat in the Jets of the future, apparently. It's all window seat all the time, baby. What a cool view. Neat. Although it would be very scary during turbulence. I would hope that you'd be able to, like, black out the plane.
Yeah, I think about that with the self-driving cars, too. I'm like, I don't want to see that much of the road.
No, it's a lot of road. I think in the sky, I think as a plane, that could be fun. That could be cool. But on the road, for whatever reason, that would really scare me. Anything else from this episode that really stood out to you?
Oh, one thing that I did notice is that the future is very prescient. I saw quite a few extras wearing masks.
I saw that as well. And in fact, I have in my notes that there's one man at one of the train stations wearing a mask. And I said, highly implausible, not enough people wearing masks.
Yes.
There was like one guy out of six. It's like, we got to boost those numbers up.
Yes. And it was nice to see Brazil briefly, and I wonder if Brazil will be coming into play in the future.
I really do enjoy that aspect of this season, that we're getting to see more of the world. You know, I think we hear about Jakarta, we hear about Berlin in this one. We've obviously been spending a lot of time in California. It'd be cool if there was more to see, but Mariah, there's only three more episodes this season, if you can believe it. That feels crazy to me. Time has really flown by.
Well, that's really exciting, though, because I would like to see Cal be revealed for who he is very soon.
I agree.
And I think we will, because there's only three more episodes.
I think so. Westworld is normally 10 episodes. It's 8 episodes this season, so it's 2 fewer than usual. And I wonder if that was the right call, because I think this is the first episode where you really feel that, where a lot has happened here in episode 5. Dolores's plan has really gone into overdrive very, very swiftly. Feels like the Delos board takeover. Does that even matter anymore? If everybody knows, you know, what's going on with Rehoboam at this point, feels like that doesn't really matter. But like, what else does Dolores have up her sleeve? What else is she trying to do? Is she going to now try and offer up an alternative to humanity if the system that they were working on before is so bad? Is she now about to offer up an alternative, and what does that look like?
Right. I guess that's the big tension. We still have all those hosts, and we still have to know how the hosts who have gone on, who are in the Forge right now. They're in the Forge, correct?
They're in heaven, in the Forge? They're in digital heaven. They were zapped somewhere into some sort of far-off digital space, the Valley Beyond, and apparently Dolores knows how to access it.
Right.
And nobody else does. So will we go there at some point this season?
And we have to see a coming together of all the characters. So I hope, I mean, it's been really fun to see all these kind of standalone episodes where each character gets featured prominently. But now if we only have three more episodes, I really want to see everybody start coming together.
Are you suggesting that in the final episode of Westworld season 3, Dolores is going to be standing across a battlefield from Serac and all hope appears lost? And then on her headset, she's going to hear, "On your left." And then a circle, a portal is going to appear in the background, and everyone from the Valley Beyond, all the disappeared hosts, are going to start showing up. Westworld Endgame, official crossover, Avengers World.
The Westworld Endgame. Yeah, I mean, if Dolores needs an army and she has the hosts, but she doesn't have the bodies, there's a possibility of solving that somehow in the last episode. I wonder.
Well, she has that warehouse in Singapore that's filled with the sake barrels, filled with like the white liquid that typically is used, the cortical fluid, I think is what it's called, to bring the host bodies online. Is she prepping for that?
Yes.
Is that something that they have like a ton of bodies that are just on standby ready to go?
Right. And Sirak is aware of the Yakuza divergence. So
yeah.
Perhaps with the distraction of destroying Rehoboam or
at least exposing Rehoboam.
Exposing Rehoboam. Now, maybe the body production can ramp up. And where does Maeve come in? I'm just trying to predict, and it's not a good idea. It's just not a good idea.
Yeah. Maeve offline for another episode. So we've had 5 episodes of Westworld and basically 2 episodes with Maeve in them. She's briefly in the premiere. Not nearly enough Maeve to my liking.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens at this point, the maximum amount of Ed Harris we've gotten this season will be 3 episodes. If he shows up in these, or is it maybe he can have 4 episodes total if he shows up in every single one of these next 3 episodes. Not nearly enough Ed Harris for my liking either.
Yes, that's true. Although it does feel like William has kind of hit a dead end right now.
Yeah, but we still have to figure out what the heck was up with the season 2 finale post credit scene, unless they just want to chalk it up to, he's crazy. What do you want?
I don't think they are.
When I ask Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy in a future interview, so what was up with William? And their answer is they're just gonna shrug and say, he was crazy. I don't know. I hope they have a better answer. I'm sure that they do. They're very intelligent people. I love talking to them. I'm looking forward to that next time we get to speak with them. That'll be up on thr.com/Westworld whenever that interview occurs. I would guess sometime post finale. Mariah, anything else from this episode, or should we just strap in for 3 more and see where the genre takes us?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit of a genre hangover right now. I was out clubbing last night. So I think I need to lay down and rest.
All right. Very easily done. Mariah Gull, you can bring yourself offline. And bleep, blop, bloop, indeed. That's going to do it for us here on Series Regular, the Hollywood Reporter's all-in podcast on genre television, including the episode genre of Westworld Season 3, Episode 5. Next week, the journey continues as we push further into Westworld Season 3. Decoherence is the name of the extravaganza that we are getting into with the 6th installment of Season 3. Decoherence is also the accusation many people have against Westworld when it doesn't make a lot of sense, but we will be here to guide you through it as best as humanly and even hostly possible. Subscribe to the podcast on your podcast app of choice. Your ratings and reviews greatly appreciated here amongst the Series Regular team. You can also contact us, seriesregular@thr.com. If you want to reach out to Mariah on Twitter, she is at Murderball on Twitter, and I am at Round Howard. We'll be back next week with another discussion of Westworld, and until then, may you rest in a deep and dreamless slumber.